Well, sir, it's late afternoon as we approach the small house halfway up in the next block now. And here on the front porch, we find Mr. Victor Cook all by himself. Mr. Cook lounges in the swing with his feet on the railing and appears to be in a state of reflective serenity. And here's a newcomer. Young Russell Miller rounds the corner. Listen.
And send the dead fish. Anybody interested
in
any?
Hi, George.
Interested in any dead fish?
You are very witty and very pretty. If I had my music, I'd sing you a ditty. There's a kitty, what a pretty.
Can you move over, please?
Thanks.
We knew you were home.
How so?
We were out in the backyard and saw Mr. Goffers walk along the sidewalk. He waved at somebody on the front porch here. Had to be you.
Could have been Uncle Fletcher, couldn't it?
Uncle Fletcher was with me. When I said we, I meant myself and Uncle Fletcher.
Where's Uncle Fletcher now?
He stopped to sit on the bed of the cistern and take off his shoe, rocking it.
Uncle Fletcher manages to get more rocks in his shoe than any 56 other guys in town.
I think that's because he wears such roomy shoes.
Uh-huh.
And he only laces them about a third of the way up.
Uh-huh.
A person that wears extra big shoes and only laces them a third of the way up lays herself open to sticks and stones and rocks and hunks of glass and banana peelings and various objects that clutter up
afternoon,
the public streets
please.
And alleys. And
greetings,
stuff.
Uncle Fletcher.
Glorious day.
Yes, isn't it? The feathered macaw struts in the deep forest and the little bird shakes from his throat floods of delirious music.
That's right. I had something in my shoe.
Gee, I hope it was a great big diamond.
Yes.
We'll all be rich.
No, here. Beg pardon?
Sit here in the swing. Don't sit on the railing.
The railing is fine.
No, it's not.
Take my seat, Uncle Fletcher.
Why, I wouldn't consider robbing you.
Go ahead.
Well, thunder, if everybody insists.
I'll sit on the railing.
Too much of a strain watching you perch up there, Uncle Fletcher. Almost went into a nervous collapse day before yesterday.
I never lost my half-wit equilibrium.
No, but you looked like you were going to any second. I was scared to death.
Stop off in there, Russell. I'll demonstrate my nitwit equilibrium.
No, sit still. Anyway, there's an important question I want to ask you. Isn't your landlady, Ms. Keller, an expert seamstress?
Who's this?
Your landlady, Ms. Keller.
She's over home, I guess. Never heard her open a trap about going anyplace.
Oh, I didn't inquire where she was. I just asked if she isn't pretty handy with needle and thread. I'll tell you the reason I'm interested. I have a letter here in my pocket from Lodge Headquarters in Chicago notifying me of certain style alterations for the official regalia.
Amen, sir.
Oh, heck, Uncle Fletcher, don't be tough.
I never lost my half-wit equilibrium in my life.
If you're going to be mad, I'd rather give you this place than in the railing.
At the Whiteside County Fair in 1909, we made a human pyramid, and I was top man. And just to amuse the ladies, we let them throw watermelon rinds at me. And I stood on Howard Nelson's shoulders for over half an hour with watermelon rinds coming at me from all directions. And I never lost my lame brain equilibrium once.
Gosh.
I was soaking sopping wet from watermelon juice and was finding watermelon seeds in my pockets and in my watch and in my hair for a month afterwards. But my worst enemy never accused me of losing my nitwit equilibrium.
Oh, Uncle Fletcher, let's call it truth. Accept my abject apologies. I surrender unconditionally. Russell, let him sit on the railing.
Okay.
Sit on the railing, Uncle Fletcher.
Huh?
The railing's yours. Climb up on it and we'll admire your equilibrium till who laid the chunk.
My equilibrium.
What'd you say?
Too late now, I suppose.
What shall I do now? Go out in the garden and eat worms?
Yeah.
You have. Well, we're friends again. Let's get out the old banjo and strum a merry tune. Russell, take off your shoes and dance a rigmarole. Where are the pretty girls to weave flowers in my hair?
Yeah.
Want to sit on the railing, Uncle Fletcher?
No.
Come on, we'll both sit on the railing.
Nah, I'm comfortable, Russell, thanks. Hear from Sadie, did you, today again, Vic?
No, I don't believe so. Mailman never left anything this afternoon, did he, Harry?
No.
Fine. No news is good news.
That's what they say.
My landlady, Ms. Keller, made up that expression.
Really?
Yes, made it up many years ago. It happened to catch on with the public, and now you hear it every place.
Uh-huh.
I understand you to inquire a while ago if she's home this afternoon?
No, I inquired if she wasn't a skillful seamstress, handy with needle and thread.
No, Vic, you're confused on the party.
I'm sure I heard Mom say Ms. Keller's a red-hot dressmaker and stuff.
Yeah.
You probably have in mind Dr. Elton Enno Halter there in DeKalb.
He a pretty good dressmaker, is he?
Veely, Haynes, Huffmobile, Saxon, all them cars.
Uh-huh.
Briscoe, Overloop, Rockney, Dort. All them cars. Dr. Elton Enno Halter, dead now. passed away while he was awake, waved goodbye to all his relatives, and walked to the undertaker's office on his own 2 feet. I've always been glad I wasn't there.
Miss Harris, across the alley is a dressmaker, isn't she?
I believe so.
Let me stroll over there after a bit.
Do you want a dress made?
I want my large robe altered.
Oh, new styles are coming out, huh?
Yeah, once every 2 or 3 years or so, headquarters changes the style. Yeah, want to hear the letter I received this afternoon?
Sure.
Allen, Franklin, Apperson, Chalmers, all them cars.
Huh?
I'm still thinking about Dr. M.O. Halter. He practiced dentistry for over 58 years and never had a patient.
You mean he never lost a patient?
He never had a patient. Seems like all the patients patronized other dentists. He had a young lady to come up to his office one afternoon in the autumn of 1906, but it turned out she just wanted to find out what time it was. Wasn't interested in getting her tooth fixed at all, just desirous to find out what time it was. It was 2:30 on the dot. And Dr. O'Halter never forgot that. Well, Grace, he'd say to his wife, sometimes looking sick and smiling glum, the clock says 2:30. I wonder if I got any patients down at the office. Marmon, Jackson, Locomobile, Winton, Kissel, all them cars.
This dentist owns so many automobiles?
No, Russell, he never owned any automobiles. Very sad affair.
You want to hear this letter from Lodge headquarters? Dear Sky Brother Gook, in hoc signo clux spiddle est, ad valorem in huius prison scrouch. Cheese come some old cornucopia.
This isn't about Dr. Elton N. O'Halter. Dr. Elton N. O'Halter has passed away.
Yeah, it's what you say.
Piercera, Pope, Overland, all them cars.
You listening, Russell?
Shoot.
In keeping with the sacred stars of the Milky Way's policy of maintaining an up-to-date... Well, this is just a long rigmarole here about changing the official regalia to fit in with the style ideas of the year 1944.
Something like ladies' dresses, huh?
Yeah. All right, now here's the different alterations conveniently numbered.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, the robe is to be worn 3 inches shorter in 1944. Oh, gosh sakes, that's almost to the knee.
Mm.
I expect I'd let her be getting on for home.
Number two, higher waistline.
Exactly like ladies' dresses.
Lift the elastic stomacher several inches according to your height. This will give you the attractively demure peach squeezer effect so much in vogue.
Yeah, I expect I'd better be getting on for home.
Number three, sleeves. Sleeves are to be much fuller. Sky Brother E.W. Smith of Emporia, Kansas, favors rosettes at the wrists and peekaboo shoulder vents. And although these are not forbidden, neither are they recommended. Sky Brother Jack K. Crowell of Dismal Seepage, Ohio, dispenses his sleeves altogether.
I'll be getting along. It'll be supper time directly.
Number four, shoulders. Balloon shoulders are indicated for the 1944 season. But a severe choked-off effect should be striven for in contradistinction to an opulent plumpness.
Yes, a fella dry himself, wash water, and the vittles is on the table before he knows it.
Number five, cuffs. Sky Brothers are permitted to make their own decisions about cuffs. It is suggested, however, that you consult your wife on the matter. Your wife will, in all probability, have some clever, daring, refreshing, and novel ideas which will enhance the overall beauty and dignity of your appearance.
Yes, I believe I will go now.
No hurry, Uncle Fletcher.
Time I walked home, passed the time of day with Mrs. Keller, and drew wash water from my face and hands. Vittles are just about to be getting tender and ready for the table.
Well, suit yourself.
But a very pleasant visit.
I'm sorry there was unhappiness about you and your equilibrium.
Not at all. We must do that again.
Yes, real soon.
Next Tuesday.
Grand. And you don't think your landlady, Miss Keller, would be interested in making the alterations in my life?
You're referring to Dr. Elton Van O'Halter there in DeKalb, were you?
Yeah.
Vealey, Haynes, Dort, Briscoe, Oakland, Maxwell, call them cars. Well, see you fellows later.
Sure thing.
Goodbye, Vic.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Russell.
Goodbye, Uncle Fletcher.